tonight as we look at our frustrations. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. You say, that sounds pretty complicated. That's Paul in Romans. He's pretty complicated. But I thank God. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. The Bible says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." What is he saying? He's saying, "For creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. And yet, there was the hope." In verse 21, in Romans 8, the Bible says, "And because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." What is he saying? He's saying that creation itself would one day be set free from its slavery to decay and would share the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, I thank God the creation suffers, it struggles for deliverance from corruption. The creation is referring to everything that's pictured, everything under man, animals, plants, minerals. All creation is pictured as living, and it's waiting expectantly for the day when the sons of God shall be glorified. The words that we look at as we see that he's talking about here, and he's telling us some of the things he said. Basically, there's an earnest expectation. Every one of us are looking for the day when the Lord will set everything completely free. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are. But it's the persistent, unswerving expectation, an expectation that does not give up but keeps looking until the event happens. We get frustrated and we're looking for something that's out of our control to happen. I'd like for it to get back to what normal used to be called, normal. But there ain't a thing that I can do right now to change that. But I thank God creation is subject to corruption, but it's seen by men, and what men see constantly confirmed by such authorities, whether we go through the world today, all creation, whether mineral, plant, or animal, suffers just as men do. You see, when you think that you're frustrated, look around. There's always something else. Well, man, I believe that when things are frustrating, that everything in creation is frustrated. You say, what? Yes, I really do. All of creation, all of minerals, all of plants, all of animals suffer just as men do. But all creation suffers hurt. It all suffers damage, loss, deterioration, erosion, death, decay. And all creation suffers and struggles for life. But here he tells us he says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity." And I thank God we see the word vanity. That means condemned to futility, frustration, unable to realize its purpose, subject to corruption. And so note the two things that's said about creation in verses Romans chapter 8, verse 20. It said that creation was condemned to vanity. In other words, frustration by God. Creation, you know, did not willingly choose to be condemned to corruption. But the world was made to be the home of you and I, men and women, the place where we all lived. And when man sinned, his world was doomed to suffer the consequences of sin with him. Man's world was cursed right along with him. And so we look back at reference of our Thomas and Chain in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, "Cursed is the earth for thy sake." Isaiah 24, the Bible says, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languish and fadeth away. For the haughty people of the earth do languish. And the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, and therefore hath the curse devoured the earth." How long shall the land mourn, Jeremiah said, "and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein." You know, just picture the enormous hurt and damage and decay that takes place in our world around us today. Think about it. The disease and the savagery of animals in the world. The hurt and the damage that so easily happens to those in the plant world out there. The destruction and the deterioration that takes place in the mineral world, amen. But think about all of the things that's happened in past years. The tornadoes, the earthquakes, the storms, the diseases, the starvations. A time, somebody said, I got frustrated because every time my good show comes on, there's always this special show that's going to come and knock me off of my TV show. Well, if that's all I had to get frustrated about, I'd be pretty happy, amen. But all of these are only a few of the happenings that show the corruption of the world. So we see that what? We see that that creation has been subjected to corruption, but in hope, the news of the scripture is glorious because the situation of the world is neither hopeless nor final because creation has the same hope of redemption and of renovation as man does because the world was made for man and therefore all creation shall be ultimately delivered from corruption just as man shall be delivered from corruption. Now bear with me here now. I'm going to get to five steps for handling life's frustrations in just a minute, but creation is going to be delivered from corruption is what Paul is telling us from this fancy, very complicated scripture of Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. And the wonderful news of this is whatever happens to man is bound to happen to this to his world. And so man is the summit of God's creation. Therefore, all that is under man is intertwined and interwoven and interrelated to him. Man and his world are one and the same, and they're dependent upon each other. And so this is the enormously significant because man, since man and the world are interrelated, it means that the world will experience whatever man experiences. And when man falls, this world was bound to fall with him. But this is the glorious news as well because when man was liberated from corruption, his world shall be liberated as well. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for going to the cross and paying a debt that none of us could ever pay. Hallelujah. Because here we're a world that might be frustrated, but we're a world not without hope. Amen. We've got something, praise God, that he did when he went down and took the keys of the kingdom. Amen. In the depths of hell and relocated it. Hallelujah. And took the old patriarchs to the proper place. Hallelujah. Here, I thank God that he told us in Psalms, in Isaiah and Revelation, he said there's a new heaven and a new earth, amen. But the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, creation groans along with your frustration. You're not alone is what I'm trying to say. Creation groans in labor for deliverance as well. Because all creation suffers together. All creation is interrelated, intertwined, and interconnected. And the whole universe is dependent upon its various parts for survival. You know, I know that they're big about being green. And they've been producing and putting out all of these electric cars and everything. Amen. Which I know that it's going to put a lot of people out of work in the future as well. But maybe the things that people continue to do with technology and everything, I hope and pray that it does, and I'm not against taking care of our country and things, but I'm all about knowing that this world is not my home. I'm just a stranger passing through. Hey, my hopes are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, amen. Boy, I thank God the whole universe is dependent upon the various parts for survival, but the earth could not survive without the heavens. The heavens would not have no purpose apart from God's creation of man and his earth. And it does not mean that man is to be egotistical. It simply means that man and his earth are the focal point of God's unbelievable creation of his eternal plan and purpose. Because everything that he has planned for us it will take care of everything that we need. Boy, when the church is raptured out of here, they're going to think, man, they're going to be trying to find an exit somewhere, and they can't find it because, I mean, all hell is going to literally break loose when all of the church is raptured out of this place. And every bit of the evil and the darkness, boy, I tell you, yes, there'll be some that'll get saved, but boy, it will cost them their life. I tell you, but the truth, every one of us, we need to be able. God's creation is not a gift of privilege, but it's an enormous responsibility. The whole scene of these verses is that creation awaits a renovated world, and it resents evil. It struggles against decay and death, just like you do, as men and women of God are trying to do. And so I thank God when we look at frustration, a feeling that though a problem is not resolved, it should be. Because frustration is a very real thing, amen. All I got to do is say one word, parents. If you got kids, you know what frustration is, amen. How many times do you have to tell your children something before it really sinks in? It's our children's job to set the table. As I was growing up, I remember we had to set the table. We did the dishes. My brother would wash them and I'd dry them. Now, those were the duties of kids when we were growing up, amen. It seems like pretty straightforward instructions, right? Well, you wouldn't believe how many meals maybe sometimes you sit down and all of a sudden, there's something that's been forgotten, something that was left on the table that needed to be on there. But I thank God the frustration that all of us deals with as we go through the time. We get frustrated when we believe things should happen according to our own timing. But Job altered a sense of that for all of us, amen. I thank God. Job was one of the most old Bible believers that could have been more frustrated than anybody, amen. But I thank God he altered a sense of time. And I thank God all of the drags of life that Job could have, but by his children and everything that happened and everything that happened to his body. Man, I'm going to tell you, he began to endure each day. And I ask tonight, God, help us to get through these frustrations of this last year and all of these things that have been taking place, because we get so frustrated when we believe things should happen according to our own timing and they don't happen. You know, every one of us, it's not an appointed time to man upon earth, or his days are like the days of a hireling, but as a servant that earnestly desireth the shadow. Every one of us, as Job was, he experienced a time that the hired laborers and all of them, they were forced to do difficult tasks. But the idea of that hard labor, every one of us, because sometimes we work harder than other times, and yet we don't get any more for it. And it begins to be frustrating. I tell you, there's people out there in the world that work hard every day, and they don't get paid what they should be paid. That's frustrating, is what I'm trying to say. Every one of us, when we do the work that is out there and we go through life today, we all need to look to the Lord and ask him to help us to get through some of the many things that we're going through. We expect God to operate on our timetable a lot of times, but when we fail and we get stuck in life, and when we feel like God is not moving as fast as he should be, we get frustrated with God. I'm speaking from personal experience tonight. At some point in our lives, we're going to have to accept by faith God's timetable and not our own, amen. And so I thank God today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there. And all of a sudden, the scripture talks about, life is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanish away. That we ought to say, if the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. And so I thank God we get frustrated when we see no hope for relief. And every one of us have complaints about things that are not fast and going on. We didn't like the politics and the things that took place in the White House the way they did this time. It's sad, and I'm saying that because my morals is one of the biggest things that, and when you talk about taking a life, that is the moral that draws the line in the sand for me, amen. Hey, are you struggling with frustration in your life right now? Is God not working according to your timing? Do you feel like your life is overwhelmed and that there's no relief and hope in God? Then the one thing that God will ultimately teach each and every one of us is God is strong enough. God is wise enough to know what to allow into your life, amen, and into my life. And we begin to win the war of frustration when we put our faith in God and find hope in Him. And so are you frustrated because of the timing of something in your life? Because God has to be wise enough to know the best timeline for all events. And maybe right now He's looking at your life and He says, you know what, Daryl Bailey ain't ready for that yet. He needs to get a little bit more patience going. And he needs to overcome the frustration, the anger, or whatever that has got a hold of him. Because all of us, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we've got hope in God. Are you frustrated because you feel like there's no relief in sight? God has to be wise enough and strong enough to know what you can and cannot handle. And he will not tempt us above that we're able. Put your faith in a God who is wise enough and powerful enough to work things out perfectly in your life. That does not mean that your situation will be immediately resolved, but in the way that you want it to be. But God will do what is best for all of us. And I thank God as we look at that. One of the first of the five steps for handling life's frustrations that we see is ask yourself, did I cause it? Because the Bible says a man reaps what he sows in Galatians 6:7. Many things in life frustrate us because we brought them on ourselves, and we don't have anybody else to blame but ourselves. It's frustrating to run out of gas on a trip. But if you didn't stop to get gas before you left or decided to push your luck, who's to blame? And so ask yourself, hey, did I cause it? Number two, ask yourself, what can I learn from it? Use the irritation as an opportunity to grow in the character and to become more like Christ. Hey, dude, I know what I'm saying ain't great to hear. I'm preaching to myself tonight. But how does God produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? He places you in the opposite situation. If God wants to teach you love, He'll put you around unlovely people. And God wants to teach you peace, then He's going to put you in a situation of total chaos so that you can have inner peace. And so even Romans 8:28 on further down says, and we know that all things work to good for those who love Him. There are many bad things in this world, but all things work together. Even the negative, God can turn into a positive if we'll let Him. So ask yourself, did I cause it? Number two, ask yourself, what can I learn from it? And number three, thank God in the situation. You said, you're out of your mind. What I want to thank Him when all of a sudden it's already going frustrating. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything gives thanks. You know, you don't have to be thankful for a bad situation, but you can be thankful in a bad situation because that frustration, that irritation, that inconvenience, that interruption may be a blessing or an opportunity in disguise that you don't recognize right now. And so the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach, but God took him to Rome to be a prisoner and write the letters that would have never got written, that have done so much for the New Testament, that here he saw an opportunity to make him sit still long enough to write the Bible. And so thank God in the situation, not for the situation, but in the situation, because he's going to turn that frustration around. So ask yourself, did I cause it? Ask yourself, what can I learn from it? Thank God in the situation. But number four, turn the frustration into a funny, humorous event. Amen. The Bible says that a cheerful heart is good medicine in Proverbs 17:22. A sense of humor is God's antidote for anger and frustrating. You know, there's that old saying, you know, tell God what your plans are, and you know what? God will laugh along with you because, you know, every one of us have some kind of plans that we like to do and what we'd like to succeed at. We always want to see our children succeed. And so, as we said earlier, the frustration of trying to teach your children because they're going through the school of hard knocks, no matter how you try to protect them, they're still going to go through that time of going to school and learning the hard lessons of life. Just like somebody that has to go and learn those lessons, because the only way that you can truly learn about those is you got to go to school. You've got to get educated in those areas. And so ask yourself, did I cause it? Ask yourself, what can I learn from it? Thank God in that situation. Not for it, but in it. Turn the frustration into something that's funny, humorous event. Amen. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us as I used to do a lot of humorous things in past days, and you know, I don't know if I could laugh at myself, but I'm not no stand-up comedian. But I remember back in the day when I used to, we used to do these roasters of the pastor. I was working at the steel mill, and Larry Bledsoe, he come up with this crazy idea. He says, you know, I think we're going to do some kind of roast the pastor. And he said, and Brother Bailey, you're going to be the one that does it. I said, huh? I ain't got any idea. So he went and got this comic stand-up video thing, and I began to look at that, and I had about 2 hours every day from coming and going from Atlanta, commuting from Atlantic Steel. And so I began to listen to that thing, you know, the audio on it, and just trying to listen to it. And so I started to, man, I started to tell them guys at the steel mill. Well, you know, hey, I wasn't even thinking. I told them at lunch, and they just looked at me like I was a stupid fool. You know, they wasn't nothing funny. They didn't laugh. I said, oh, man, I'm in for it, man. You know, but what I wasn't thinking is they're not Christians. And everything that was on that was for a Christian that could be funny and hilarious and humorous, amen. And so, you know, as I began to continue to try out on them, I was trying out on the wrong crowd. Because, man, when it finally came down to D-Day and I got up, hey, I had these old overalls on and I only had one strap on them like an old hillbilly. I got up to make fun of the pastor and all. And, man, everything went good to plan. Why, man? They were people rolling out of the seats. It was so funny. I said, hallelujah, thank God. I was about to break a sweat out, man, because actually the material was pretty funny. And so each and every one of us, I think I went and did it at another place. You know, as you get called to go do something like that another time, that's a pretty compliment, amen. And so I thank God. Not only ask yourself, did I cause it? Ask yourself, what can I learn from it? But thank God in the situation, not for it, but in it. In everything, give thanks. Turn the frustration into something that's funny, humorous event. Amen. And lastly, number five, ask God to fill you with His love. Ask God to fill you with His love. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians, the love chapter 13, I call it the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, love, talking about charity, love is not easily angered. Love is self-giving, which it only says charity, not self-serving. You know, we get irritated because we think everyone and everything has to revolve around us. Love concentrates on the other person. I thank God for my wife, and you know what? I want the very best for her. I want the best for our kids, for my family, my brothers, my sisters, all of my nephews, aunts, nieces, all of them. I've got a big family that I come from, a big family. And so Jesus faced constant frustrations in his life, but he always made time for people. You know, I thank God we get so preoccupied with our own things, we forget that people are the priority in life. Hey, will you keep in perfect peace those minds that would be steadfast because they trust in you? Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Every one of us, these five steps for handling life's frustrations. I hope and pray that whatever frustrates you, whether it's an area of life that just won't work for you, or an aggravating relationship, or whatever else it might be, we're all forced to deal with irritations. Areas where we just can't have our way. However, to deal with them successfully, we must realize that they've been given to help our spiritual growth. And the things that irritate you reveal what's really inside of you. So each time you're confronted with a circumstance that tries your patience, you have a choice to either lay down your personal rights or fight for them. In other words, you can either deny yourself and yield to the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or continue to battle in your own strength. Your choice will either advance your spiritual growth or it will neutralize it. Instead of continuing in frustration and defeat, accept those irritations as the Lord's agents that scrape away the layers of pride and selfishness that's in you and reveal the liberated child of God that you were created to be. Jesus, I choose to submit to you and to grow spiritually. Because my hope is in Jesus, because he liberates and he matures me from the frustrations of the book of Romans chapter 8. Remember, you can preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. Father, thank you tonight for Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, for the frustrations of life that we cannot push fast enough in our timetable. Lord, we want to push you. We want to push America, and we want to push the White House and everything to make it hurry up alone, but it doesn't work that way. Right now, America is being taken to school in the school of hard knocks. And until America learns her lesson, whether it's using COVID, if it's using death, test trials in America, across the face of America today, help us to be more like you. And may we focus on those that are around us and love those that need to be loved and to be more servants like you, to imitate you in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you is our prayers. Amen. I hope and pray that you got something out of frustrations, because every one of us have frustrations in life today. And I hope and pray you tune us in, the good Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night will be our last study on the book of Jonah, lessons on obedience. May God bless you as our prayers.